Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. It's quarter number three. So the new tradition, we're transitioning from Ask Greg to now it's Ask T. Frank. You could ask any of your Penn State football questions. You could ask about recruits. T. Frank does these great scouting reports. Maybe you have a scouting issue on one of the players you want to ask him about. All you got to do, if you don't have our app, download the app, Keystone Sports. Nice button there. It says Ask T. Frank. Hit the button. Give us your question, and we will ask T. Frank. Every week, we will pick out a winner for the best question, and that winner will get the fantastic KSN polo shirt, which T. Frank is wearing right now. T. Frank, looking good in your polo.
Yeah, I got it in the mail. I put it on, and I've been wearing it ever since. It's now stitched onto my body.
I bet you even sleep in it, don't you, T. Frank?
It's so comfortable. It's so nice. It's one of those, it feels moisture wicking. I don't ever feel hot or sticky in it. I like it.
But the fact that you don't take it off for weeks at a time, I'm sure your wife really appreciates it.
Yes, she does. She also thinks it looks good.
All right, let's get to the questions. Let's start with Brian from Hartwell, Georgia. I never heard of Hartwell, but anyway. Brian says, will Penn State need to modify the offensive play calling in order to protect Sean Clifford in fear of not having a proven backup? If so, will this limit the overall potential of the offense?
I don't think that's the reason. With having a back, so if you're asking about the play calling and the designed runs, possibly, but in general, I've been taking a little bit of a look at this offense and what it is at Penn State may be different than what it was at Texas last year, but they put a lot on Sam Ellinger's plate and a lot on the offensive line. So in that sense as well, things might have to be modified. The offensive line has a chance to be the best they've been in a while, but we've been saying that for a couple of years. So just kind of, and these thoughts are kind of all forming the last like 24 hours or so for me. I'm wondering what it's going to look like with Sean Clifford in the pocket, because those are some of his areas where he doesn't perform as well. So to answer your question, yes, I think that the offense will be modified. I don't know that it's necessarily just because of the lack of a backup. I think it's more so playing to the strengths and weaknesses of the team you have in front of you. And so there's going to have to be some modifications this year to win football games.
Not so much just because you're scared of putting Taquan Roberson in the game.
Injuries are injuries. And when you got to win a game, you're going to call a quarterback counter. You're going to call a quarterback power, and you're going to try and win the game. Those kind of thoughts go out the window, I think, when you're in third and three and you need to pick up a first down. To me, it's more, is it that he can hit a deep crosser, or is it that and he can stand in the pocket for 3 seconds and not run from the pocket, or is it, you know, that he's gonna get injured? I think it's the game plan design going in more so than worrying about the injury.
Okay, let's move on. Next up is Brad from Johnstown. And Brad said, what are the biggest differences I will notice as a fan with a Mike Yurcich offense?
So there's a couple that we've covered, and that is tempo and motion. Penn State has been fairly static before the snap the last couple of years. There's a little more. When I went back, there's a little more at the beginning of the season with Kirk Shiraka, but then last year was so confusing to know what to take and to leave from last year. So if we just look at Ricky Ronnie, that was very static. Mike Yurcich uses motion and formation to create mismatches and advantages. You'll see a lot of that, and then when they get into a role, they can go tempo. What they can do in year one versus next year and the year after, that's to me the question, is can you implement all of this stuff? And one of the things that I think we might see more of that that Mike Yurcich mentioned this offseason is the best, highest completion, most effective passes are in breaking routes. So can Sean Clifford hit those windows over the middle? Because there's a lot of vertical concepts in this offense, whether or not he can take advantage of those. And that's to the previous question, is that going to be augmented based on Clifford's strengths and weaknesses? So I have a lot of questions. I know what he likes to do. Can he do those things with this offense, or is he just going to do it anyway? That's what I don't know as far as what his plan is.
I watched some of the tape from his Oklahoma State days, and they had something called the cowboy position, which was essentially an H-back, or, Penn Staters, we used to call it a fullback, but this was the tight end motioning into the backfield, sometimes being a lead blocker like you would use a fullback. He seemed to do that quite a bit at Oklahoma State. Is that something you think we'll see a lot of also?
A lot? Not necessarily, because there are times where he went five wide. Again, it's what are the – Kirk Ciarrocca also had a fullback at times last year. He also had a fullback lined up at quarterback, and that was like watching paint dry for an offensive scheme. So you got your fullback. You had two fullbacks at one point on one play, and it was hard for me to watch. So I don't know that you're going to have a fullback a lot. With this tight end room, yes, I think so. But if they need to in the future, they will augment and go five wide. Because Kirk Ciarrocca. Mike Yurcich seems like a guy that plays to the strengths of his team, and he is willing to add and remove plays based on what he can do with his personnel, not necessarily this is my system, and that's what makes a good offensive coordinator, that's what makes a creative mind work at that position. So with the tight end room, it's more about the talent that's there, so yeah, sure, I think we'll see more of that, but if that talent pool dries up over time, or there's players that aren't good H-backs. Jerry Cross is a guy in this class that's 6'6", 257 right now. I don't want him as an H-back. I don't know that he's going to move like that. You might see something different in the future. So it's about the personnel and how to use their strengths to me.
6'6", 257. Again, I'm going to use the expression. That's a big dude.
That's a big dude. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. Next up is Steve from Wayne, New Jersey. Steve says, hey, T. Frank, love your videos. Steve learned a lesson. You suck up to the guy answering the questions. Good move, Steve. All right, Steve's question is, of all the Penn State recruits from both the 21 class and the 22 class, who is the guy that you think is the most underrated that you've scouted?
Oh, well, now I'm put on the spot to remember the class of 2021.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk class of 22 then.
Maybe let me just look at this quickly. I think because he was added so late, Jordan Vandenberg, I don't think got the right amount of coverage because he was a late add in the middle of the summer. We were all thinking about 22. I think another one of their JUCO pickup that's super talented. He is a chase player at 6'3", 280. And he was playing with an injury. He actually, speaking of my videos, he commented on one of them because I said there's a couple plays on film where he just got blown off the ball by a double team. And he said, I had a PCL injury last year, so lower body strength is one of the things I do well, which makes sense. But like what his position, he's a bit of a tweener type of body. I don't know that he's long enough to play inside, but he might be able to play at 290, 300 pounds of that three technique. He's an explosive, strong athlete, so I'm very excited about what he can do, and I'm looking forward to him. I'd probably go with him off the top of my head because I really liked watching his tape.
Remind our listeners what his background is, where he came from, because you're right. He definitely was under the radar.
He's from South Africa. He moved to Georgia, I think, when he was 10 or 11, and then walked on at Directional College, Iowa Community College. I don't remember which.
Northern, Southern, Western.
It's a directional
Iowa
college, so I don't necessarily care. But it's a JUCO college. He walked on there, and then in a year got a Division I offer to Penn State. So again, when you look at he has no stars, there needs to be some context because this dude potentially could be phenomenal.
And he also. He only had 1 year there, and that was the year that didn't count. They get a mulligan for that. So he will actually, coming out of junior college, still have 4 years of eligibility, right?
Yeah, Yeah. So, and I don't think, even though he's eligible this year, because of the context of he's recovering from an injury, he played football this spring. I don't know that there's time for any personal development in the middle of the summer. I think he should probably be recovering and maintaining and not necessarily trying to add anything to his game. Maybe he'll see some playing time, but I think it'd be a little bit crazy to think he's going to play this fall. If he does, let me just say it. If he does, he's going down in lore, in my mind, as like a Superman. The sort of thing like legends are made of. That's what I would think of Jordan Vandenberg if he did that this year.
All right, that's a real good call on the answer to that question. Let's see. Next up, Charlie from Pittston says, how would you compare Nick Singleton to previous Penn State running backs like Barkley, Sanders, Journey Brown in style, not talent? Mm-hmm. Or is there any mm-hmm. other Penn State back comparison you would make for Nick Singleton?
Actually, the one there at the end is the one I was thinking of when I watched him in Journey Brown, a track athlete. They have eerily similar 100 times in the 100-meter dash, and they have eerily similar backgrounds as far as the offenses they came from, where they were put in space and they just chewed up yardage. I would say Journey Brown, because Journey Brown was the most physical of those high-end prospects that everyone is mentioning. This dude's a hammer. You know, he sees everything as a nail. So I think he's unique in that even Miles Sanders and Journey Brown, when they were physical, they weren't this physical. So Journey Brown, I think, is the closest of the guys that was initiating contact and running fools over. But Singleton has a chance to be in a rarefied air in that aspect. So to me, I would go Journey Brown. And then from there, he might be more than that on that end. As far as a physical runner that punishes people, I haven't seen anyone that initiates or looks for contact the way he does. Maybe Noah Cain, but Noah Cain does this thing where he tries to avoid contact and fall forward. Nick Singleton runs through people. Like, I just want to emphasize this. He runs through people.
That will be interesting to see. All right, I don't think we have time for another question, but I'm going to ask you, T. Frank, to name our winner just as a quick reminder. Brian from Georgia asked about modifying the offense to protect Sean Clifford. Brad from Johnstown asked about what differences for the Mike Yurcich offense. Steve from Wayne, New Jersey, he asked about the underrated player. And Charlie from Pittston, he asked for comparisons for Singleton. Who's your winner?
I like talking about Jordan Vandenberg, so we're going to go with Steve, because I, you know, the mountain man sort of stuff, the crazy sort of thing. He's a fun player to watch. I like talking about him. So we'll go.
All
with Steve.
Right. Steve from Wayne, New Jersey. We'll get in contact with you. Coming up next, our good friend Greg Pickle is back. He's going to talk about the future of Penn State recruiting. Stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.